Do you know when Peter, the great Peter, met Jesus Christ, he never realized what the future held for him. He was just a fisherman, just a poor man who had to earn his living fishing fish every night, going out on the boat, mending nets, and one day he encounters Jesus Christ. He didn't know who Jesus Christ was. His brother Andrew picked him up and sort of dragged him to meet Jesus. But the moment he met him, Simon the fisherman began a new life. Now, let's read about it in John chapter 1. Tonight is just an introduction, by the way. Don't panic. It won't be too long. Just 50 minutes, that's all. And John chapter 1 and verse 40. Three verses, that's all. John chapter 1 and verse 40. Look at the encounter. Very interesting. And there's two little phrases that you'll catch on to here. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, which means a rock. Rocky, you might call him. Now, the thing I noticed here is this. Two little phrases. The brother Andrew goes and finds his old brother Peter, Simon rather, and he brings him and he says, "Hey man, I think we have found the Messiah. I want you to meet him." So he brings him to Jesus. And when he sees him, the Lord Jesus says to him, "So you are Simon, the son of John? Listen, by the time I'm through with you, buddy, people are not going to call you Simon anymore. They're going to call you Peter, the rock." That must have been a surprise for Peter. First place, he'd never met the Lord Jesus. And yet the moment he comes face to face to him, the Lord not only tells him his name, but changes his name and makes a fantastic promise for his future. Now, what we're going to see in these Bible studies in the morning, and I'll just tell you about it, and that'll be about it for tonight, is this. Redemption, salvation, as illustrated in the life of Peter. Now, you all know, I'm sure, that redemption has three parts to it. First, redemption past. Then, redemption in the present. And then, redemption in the future. Redemption past was settled on the cross forever. It had to do with guilt and forgiveness of sins. When Christ died on the cross, he did the work of redemption. The Bible says we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And I hope all of you have experienced that forgiveness, that redemption, where you know as a man or a woman or a boy or a girl that your sins are forgiven, that they're all washed away, that everything that there was in your past, all the nitty-gritty, all the hanky-panky, all that is forgiven and washed away through the blood of the cross. That's a great feeling to begin life out. And that's redemption past, through the blood of the cross. Redemption future, that's when the Lord will give us a total experience. He's going to take us out of this place of sin, this world, and get us out of the whole mess. And forever we shall be perfect and no more problems, no more suffering, no more rebellion, no more sin, no more sex temptation, no more anything that drags us down and tends to destroy us. But there's the third element, redemption now. And that's what we're going to look at in the life of Peter. What is the purpose of God in your life as a young man of 17 or a young man of 18 or a woman of 70. What is God's plan? You know what it is? He's trying to make us from selfish, self-centered men and women. He wants to make us mature, spirit-controlled, so that we will be free from the tyranny of selfishness, which tends to make us ego-centered, proud, obnoxious people. Now, in the life of Peter, each one of us is going to see himself. I can bet you that. And even the boys and girls who are here are going to find that Peter is just like every one of us. That's why he's so exciting to study. And I look forward to this study perhaps more than any one of you. Maybe some of you want to run away right now. But I'm going to stay because I like the life of Peter. And I think we're going to learn so much from this interesting man. Now, let's look at two things and then we'll finish for tonight. First, you notice here that the Lord looks at Peter as the old man and he calls him by his old name, Simon. He says, look at him, here comes Peter. And you know, Peter was an interesting character. He was an aggressive, he was a boastful, self-confident, loud-mouthed man. And we're going to find out all about it. And I can just imagine him. When his brother brings him to Jesus, Peter comes with sort of a swagger and a cynical look. And says, ah, who in the world can this man be? After all, I'm Simon. I'm a great fisherman. Who is this man anyway that my brother is so interested in introducing to me? The Lord Jesus takes one look at him, and of course he knew all about him, and he says, so, you are Simon, huh? Yes, you are Simon the son of John. That was the natural man, the old man. And you know something? In that phrase, we find the basis for conviction. Jesus Christ finds Peter, and when he says, you are Simon the son of John, you know what he's saying to him? He's saying, Peter, listen, man, I know all about you. Don't give me that cynical, haughty look. I know you, Simon, and before I'm through with you, you are going to know you too. And you're going to know yourself so well that you're going to have to come all the way flat on your face before you really know yourself like I know you, Simon. But the Lord Jesus loves Simon. And so he says to him, you know, I know you are Simon the son of John, but you are going to be called Peter the Rock. And you know, dear friends, every one of us really is like Peter. All of us, at best, are sincere hypocrites. You know that you can be a sincere hypocrite? Some people think that hypocrisy is the worst thing you can be is a hypocrite. But you know, there are sincere hypocrites. I used to be one. I like to think of myself as such. You know what it used to be? When I was 17 and 19 and 21, nobody had taught me how to live a victorious Christian life. And the only thing I knew how to do was to put up a smokescreen, to wear a mask. I wanted to be victorious. I wanted to be happy in Christ. I wanted to overcome sex temptations and a foul mouth and a certain amount of things that even as a Christian I used to have. But I didn't know how to do it. And when I would ask people, all they would say is, read more, pray more, witness more. But you know, that didn't change me. And so, after a few months of trying and trying, I began to become a marvelous actor. And I know that I was a big put-on. But you know, it was sincere. I wanted to be a happy Christian. And even when I wasn't then, I would pretend like I was. As they say, you know, to be happy, they tell salesmen in all these sales conventions. I haven't been there, but I've read their books. To be happy, act happy. And so salesmen go in for sales and say, how are you, buddy? Bang, smash you on the back. Inside, they're having a battle with their wife. At home, they're about to get divorced. But they got to make a sale, so to be happy, act happy. And they put on a front. That's what I used to do. And it was so good that I remember people, women, mothers would come to me and say, oh, Louis, if my son Charlie were just like you, oh, I just love if he was just dedicated and so holy like you are. And I'd say, Madam, if you knew my heart, you wouldn't want Charlie to be like me. Oh, you're so humble on top of it all. And what was it? I had managed, in my effort to be a sincere Christian, to impress the others like I was. But inside I wasn't. And this was Peter, poor man. Like so many thousands, he didn't know the secret, but he sure made a good impression, and he put up a good smokescreen. And we shall find, as we go through the week, Peter was the most impressive of them all, and yet he was one of the, well, the one who needed to learn the biggest lessons. Now, that was the first thing. So you are Simon, the son of John. That was the natural man. Then Jesus gives him a promise of the future. He says, you shall be called Peter, the rock. Now, Jesus could look at Peter, and he was really saying to him, Simon, listen, man, I know all the skeletons in your closet, every one of them. If I should open the closet and let people see what's in there, boy, you would run away from this area. But Simon, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to get a hold of you. And by the time I'm through with you, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to control you. I'm going to mold you so much. And your character and your life are going to be so different by the time I'm through with you, Simon, that we'll have to change your name. And we're going to call you Peter because you're going to be such a rock to help other people. And it happened. It happened. And you know, if it happened to Simon, listen, it can happen to you. Because we're going to see that Simon had just about all the weaknesses and all the sins that me and you could ever dream up. He had them. And yet, by the time he was through, Jesus Christ made Simon the great Apostle Peter, a man that's worthy of our imitation any time. So here's the basis for hope. You shall be. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't say, maybe Simon, perhaps Simon. He says, you shall be the rock. And you know, Philippians 1:6 says these words, I am sure that he who began the good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. When God takes a hold of a man, no matter how wild the character he may be, by the time he's through with him, he makes him what he ought to be. Because Christ himself comes into that man. He himself comes in personally to take the job over. He in person gets that man and he says, I'm going to mold this man and make him the kind of man that he ought to be. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 16 that says, behave like men. So many men in the church behave like little girls, like flimsy, flamsy, soft jelly fishes, just sort of are not men in the church. Christ wants to make us rocks, man. And when he begins to work in a man, and in a woman it's a little different, but in a man, he makes a rock out of him, a real man in Jesus Christ. And the Lord seems to be saying to Peter, you shall be called Peter, like he's looking several years ahead. In other words, he's saying to Peter, Peter, you're a tough one to handle. But in a few years, you're going to see what I'm going to do in your life. And you know, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. He will do it. You say to yourself tonight, man, Luis, if you knew me, nobody can handle me. I've got such a rotten passions. I've got such a twisted mind. I've tried for years and years to straighten out, and I can't do it. Okay, this week, you're going to find out that that's exactly the truth. You can't do it. But if you will let Jesus Christ, who indwells you, begin to do it, he will do it. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. And Jesus Christ, who met Peter that day, and called him and said, okay, Simon, when I'm through with you, you're going to be the rock. Jesus Christ did it. Now, Peter went through many of these experiences. He went up and he went down and he went up again. And we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it with the overhead projector even. No slides of Peter. Nobody took pictures in those days. But we're going to look at his progress and his decay, and then when Peter really grows up. Because each one of us, when we receive Jesus Christ, we're just spiritual babies. But once Christ begins to work in us, we begin to grow from babyhood into spiritual adolescence and then into maturity in Jesus Christ when we begin to grow up because Christ is working in our heart. Now, the final thought I have for you is this. Have you heard the voice of Jesus Christ just like Peter heard it? What has God said to you by way of fact and promise? What has God said to you from the Scriptures as a man? What has He said? Man, this is what I want to do with you. Some of you are young men, 17 and 18. Some of you are adult men, 50, 60, 70 maybe. What has God said to you through the Scripture and through the Holy Spirit? And if God has spoken to you, then you can expect Him to do what He promised to do. I am sure that He who began the good work in you will bring it to completion. And you know, if you say to me, well, Luis, I can't remember anything that God has said to me. Frankly, I've read the Bible and I've heard sermons, but I haven't for myself felt the voice of God really getting through to me. Well, this may just be that week in your life. This may just be the week. Boy, girl, young man, young woman, when God will get through to your inner being and begin to really speak to you. And this may be the turning point in your life. And your coming to Mount Hermon was just a little vacation for you, and the vacation may just become a lifelong vacation where Christ will be in control of your life and a fruitfulness will begin in your life, and you're going to bring people to Christ, and your home will be Christ-like, and your life will be new because of this encounter with the living Christ. So what better week? What better week in the whole year than to take time to listen to His voice, to listen to the Spirit, to pay a little attention, and let Him get through to your heart. And then maybe you're going to hear what Peter heard, and maybe whatever your name is, you came here with an old name, and you leave Mount Hermon with a new name, the name that the Lord is going to lay on your heart. Now, that's enough for tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer now and dedicate this week to the Lord and really open up mind and heart and spirit to Him and let Him prepare us for what He's going to do. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship You tonight because You love us so much. Lord, when we think that Peter was so much like me, with all his self-assurance, his cynicism, his pride, and yet You loved him so much. Lord, You knew all the skeletons in his closet. You knew all his past. And yet You picked him up and You promised to make him a rock. And tonight, Father, each one of us, we want to be so open to Your voice this week that we will hear Your word of promise to us, in which You speak to us and You tell us what You want to do in our life. Father, we pray for each boy and girl, each young man, 17, 19, 21, Lord, each adult man and their wives and children, we pray, dear Father, that many Peters will come out of this conference, filled with Christ, ready to face the world in the power of the indwelling Spirit, fruitful and joyful and holy and filled with Jesus Christ. We thank You, our Father, for this opening night, for the wonderful spirit of joy, expectancy, and excitement. And Lord, we really look forward to the Bible studies, to the singing, and to the time with our families. Thank You, dear Father, because we have sensed Your presence among us tonight, and because He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. We worship you, our Father, in his holy name. Amen.